إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم عما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم واذكر عبدنا أيوب إذ نادى ربه أني مسني الشيطان بنصب وعذاب اركض برجلك هذا مغتسل بارد وشراب ووهبنا له أهله ومثلهم معهم رحمة منا وذكرى لأولي الألباب وخذ بيدك ضغثا فاضرب به ولا تحنث إنا وجدناه صابرا نعم العبد إنه أواب وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أوصيك بتقوى الله فإنه أزين لكل أمره أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Brothers and sisters, just to continue from last week, we were talking about the concept of taqwa, and we mentioned a few definitions of taqwa, the first being the dialogue between Umar radiallahu anhu and Ubay ibn Ka'b, and we learned from that dialogue that taqwa is in fact like you are in this world, the world is like a narrow path, and there are thorny thistles on the side. And so we learn that you have to tread very carefully. And Umar radiallahu anhu, he says that I lift my gown and I tread very carefully, just to remind ourselves what taqwa is. And in this regard, there are a few couplets that are attributed to Allama Mahmud al-Lusi, who is a 13th century Hanafi scholar. He's the famous author of Ruh al-Ma'ani. And he says, خَلِّ الذُّنُوبَ صَغِيرَهَا وَكَبِيرَهَا فَهُوَ التُّقَى خَلِّ الذُّنُوبَ صَغِيرَهَا وَكَبِيرَهَا فَهُوَ التُّقَى وَاسْنَعْ كَمَاشٍ فَوْكَ أَرْضِ الشَّوْكِ يَحْذَرُ مَا يَرَى لَا تَحْكِرَنَّ صَغِيرَةً إِنَّ الْجِبَالَ مِنَ الْحَصَى. He says taqwa is, in essence, to abandon all forms of major and minor sins. خَلِّ الذُّنُوبَ صَغِيرَهَا وَكَبِيرَهَا فَهُوَ التُّقَى وَاسْنَعْ كَمَاشٍ فَوْكَ أَرْضِ الشَّوْكِ يَحْذَرُ مَا يَرَى. Imagine yourself living وَاسْنَعْ كَمَاشٍ فَوْكَ amongst thistles and thorns. This is taqwa, that you have to be very careful how you tread. لا تحقرن صغيرة. Do not consider any sin to be small. This is his advice in his couplets. لا تحقرن صغيرة إن الجبال من الحصى because it is the accumulation of pebbles that forms a mountain. This is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam advised his wife Aisha that اتق النار ولو بشق تمرة. Protect yourself from the fire, even if you give a piece of date. So do not consider any sin to be small. That's one thing we learn. The second definition we mentioned last time was of Ali radiallahu anhu. A very comprehensive and short definition. He says, الخوف من الجليل والعمل بالتنزيل والقناعة بالقليل والاستعداد ليوم الرحيل. He says, taqwa is to fear Allah, to act according to the injunctions of the Quran. وَعَمَلُوا بِالتَّنْزِيلِ وَالْإِسْتِعْدَادُ لِيَوْمِ الرَّحِيلِ and to live in this world and be content with little. وَالْإِسْتِعْدَادُ لِيَوْمِ الرَّحِيلِ and also the day of يوم الرحيل, remember the time of your death. This is taqwa in fact. Now we move on to the next definition. The next quotation is of Anas radiallahu anhu. He said, إِنَّا لِأَهْلِ التَّقْوَى عَلَامَاتٌ يُعْرَفُونَ بِهَا وَيَعْرِفُونَ مِنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ. Indeed, they are people of taqwa and they have some signs, some characteristics that you can recognize them by and identify them by. What are these characteristics? He mentioned six of them. مَنْ رَضِيَ بِالْقَضَاءِ. That person who is pleased according to the qada, the divine decree of Allah. مَنْ رَضِيَ بِالْقَضَاءِ وَالصَّبَرَ عَلَى الْبَلَاءِ. And he endures patience in time of tribulation. وَالشَّكْرَ عَلَى النَّعْمَاءِ. And he is always thanking Allah for all the favors that are brought upon him. وَصَدَّقَ بِاللِّسَانِ. And he is truthful with his speech and his tongue. وَصَدَّقَ بِاللِّسَانِ وَوَفَّى بِالْعَهْدِ وَالْأَيْمَانِ وَتَلَى لِأَحْكَامِ الْقُرْآنِ. And he keeps his promises and his trusts. And he is an embodiment of the Qur'an. He recites the ahkam of the Qur'an, meaning that he actually acts according to the Qur'an. And this is something important. So the ayahs I have chosen today in regards to this are that of Ayyub alayhi salam. This is a very important story in the Quran for us. In Surah Sad, Allah makes mention of Ayyub alayhi salam, the patience he had. Allah Azza wa Jalla has given him everything. Al-mal wal-banuna zinatul hayatid dunya. The Quran says that wealth and children, this is the beauty of this world. And Ayyub alayhi salam had all of it. He had wealth, he had 14 children, he had a big house, and he had everything. But Allah Azza wa Jalla decided to test him. And Allah makes mention of this in the Quran for us to recite and memorize and revive the likes of Ayyub alayhi salam till the day of Yawm al-Qiyamah. What does Allah say? وَذْكُرْ عَبْدَنَا أَيُّوبَ إِذْ نَادَى رَبَّهُ أَنِّي مَسَّنِيَ الشَّيْطَانُ بِنُصْبٍ وَعَذَابٍ. Remember the story of Ayyub when he said to his Lord and he cried out to his Lord that Shaitan has indeed touched me with some evil. His house was brought down, it collapsed. His children instantaneously, they all died. And in addition to that, he was afflicted with a very evil and a very bad illness, which made him outcast in the eyes of people. They did not want to come near him. You know, most of the people, they left him alone and he had to live somewhere far away from the rest of society, and he lived with his family. So what happened was, his wife really, she was very patient in this regard, with regard to his illness. So there was only two people that were left talking to him. Everyone else had cut all ties with him. So now you can imagine his situation. He's ill, he's in distress, but the patience he endures, it is amazing. His wife, she implores him after 7 years. She says to him, "Oh Ayyub, do you not think it's time that you ask Allah and you make dua to Allah to protect you and to remove this distress from you?" So Ayyub alayhi salam says, "Oh my wife, can you just remind me how many years has it been that we have been afflicted with this poverty of ours?" And she says, it's been 18 years. The narrations they mention, 18 years. So he says, "And how many years of adversity and prosperity did we have? Prosperity. How many years did we enjoy life?" And she says, 80 years. So he replies to her, he says, "Oh my wife, I do not have the courage to ask my Lord who gave me 80 years of prosperity, only after testing me for 7 years, I do not have the courage to put my hands up and ask him to take these afflictions away from me. Until 80 years have lapsed, then maybe I shall attempt to make dua." This is the patience he endured. Anyhow, some years lapsed by, and two men, they were talking, they were conversing with one another. And one of them, these were his best friends at that time, Ayyub. They were the ones only who stood by him. So they said, one of them said to the other that, "You know, I think Ayyub has been afflicted with this poverty and this tribulation because he has done something wrong in the eyes of Allah. He has committed something bad, some evil thing." So the other person, he said, "You know, why do you say this?" And then he says to him, "Because Allah Azza wa Jal has tested him for so long and he is not curing him. It's been so many 18 years now." So anyway, this man tells Ayyub alayhi salam about this situation. And so what happens is, one day his wife is visited by a doctor in the form of shaitan. This is what the narrations mention. A doctor comes, it's shaitan in the form of a doctor, visits his wife and says, "Okay, I can cure your husband. All I want to know, all I want is recognition from you, an acknowledgement." So now his wife, she's very desperate for cure for her husband. So she gives in and she says, "Okay." And when she comes home and tells Ayyub alayhi salam that, you know, the doctor, I met up with him and this is what he says, that I just need to acknowledge him and you shall be cured instantaneously. So now Ayyub alayhi salam, he became very furious and angry at this. He says, "Oh my wife, do you know what you have done today? This is, you know, almost like kufr you have done. Because you have attributed something, the cure is only for Allah, it's not for man. So now, if Allah Azza wa Jal cures me, now I take an oath today that I will lash you 100 times. This is what he says, and he was very angry with his wife. Anyway, some time passed, and the narration it mentions that one day Ayyub alayhi salam was going to the bathroom and Allah revealed to him, "Urkud bi rijlik, hadha mughtasalun baridun wa sharab." Strike the ground with your feet, and the water shall come up. Drink with the water, the inside of your body shall be cured. Bath inside the water, and your outer illness shall be cured. So he done this, and this is the cure that Allah gave him. "Urkud bi rijlik, hadha mughtasalun baridun wa sharab." ووهبنا له أهله ومثلهم معهم رحمة منا وذكرى لأولي الألباب. And we restored his family and we restored his health and his wealth and everything back to him. So he goes back home and he rejoices with his wife. They come back together. But then he recalls that I made an oath to Allah that I shall strike my wife 100 times and lash her. He remembers. Now he's in a bit of a situation here, Ayyub alayhi salam. This is a predicament, this is a dilemma he finds himself in. Because his wife was very loyal to him. And on the other hand is, he made an oath to Allah that he does not want to break. So, you know, Allah Azza wa Jal made divine intercession in this regard for Ayyub alayhi salam. And Allah mentions in the Quran, وَوَهَبْنَا لَهُ أَهْلَهُ وَمِثْلَهُمْ مَعُمْ رَحْمَةً مِنَّا وَذِكْرَى لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ وَخُذْ بِيَدِكَ دِغْثًا فَضْرِبْ بِهِ وَلَا تَحْنَثْ إِنَّا وَجَدْنَاهُ صَابِرًا نِعْمَ الْعَبْدُ إِنَّهُ أَوَّابٌ. We said to Ayyub alayhi salam, don't worry, just find a hundred bundles of straws wrapped together and touch your wife once, and this is like you have lashed her. So you do not break your oath, and we have cured you as well, and you do not go against your wife. This is the divine intercession that Allah made. And Ibn Kathir, he mentions in his tafsir about this particular issue. Under this ayah, he mentions that this, وَهَذَا مِنَ الْفَرَجِ وَالْمَخْرَجِ لِمَنِ اتَّكَ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى وَأَنَابَ إِلَيْهِ. This is a way out of distress. This is a makhraj, an opening for those people who have taqwa of Allah. Who have taqwa of Allah. And وَأَنَابَ إِلَيْهِ. They are always turning to Allah Azza wa Jal. And then he mentions the ayah that we mentioned last week in Surah Talaq. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ بَالِغُ أَمْرِ. That whosoever has a taqwa of Allah, then Allah will take him out of every hardship and provide for him from sources that are even unknown to him. And we mentioned the commentary of Imam Qurtubi on this ayah, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Makhraja min shubuhat al-dunya wa min ghamarat al-mauti wa min shada'idi yawm al-qiyamah." This is the power of the Quran, and this is the power of taqwa. So Ayyub alayhi salam, he encompasses all of these attributes and characteristics of taqwa. He is happy with the qada of Allah. Man radiya bil qada'i wa sabra ala al-bala'i, and he endures patience. When he was afflicted, he endured patience. وَالشَّكْرَ عَلَى النَّعْمَائِ. And he was obviously constantly thanking Allah Azza wa Jal. And this is important as well. This is what the hadith mentions. And in fact, this is what, you know, Ali radiallahu anhu, he has a poem on this. He has a poem particularly on this. الشَّكْرَ عَلَى النَّعْمَائِ. To thank Allah. And he gives advice to Jabir radiallahu anhu. That always thank Allah. فَحْذَرْ زَوَالَ الْفَضْلِ يَا جَابِرْ. Thank Allah for the bounties that he has given you. وَعَطِي مِن دُنْيَاكَ مَنْ سَأَلَهَا فَإِنَّ ذَا الْعَرْشِ جَزِيلُ الْعَطَى يُضَعِفُ بِالْحَبَّةِ أَمْثَالَهَا وَكَمْ رَأَيْنَا مِنْ ذَوِي ثَرْوَى لَمْ يَقْبَلُوا بِالشُّكْرِ إِقْبَالَهَا تَاهُوا عَلَى الدُّنْيَا بِأَمْوَالِهِمْ وَقَيَّدُوا بِالْبُخْلِ أَقْفَالَهَا. Look at those people who were given everything, yet they were not thankful. They were given everything, they were not thankful. This is an example. And you know, Allah talks about Fir'aun in the Quran. And what happened with Fir'aun? He had everything. قَمْ تَرَكُوا مِنْ جَنَّاتٍ وَعُيُونٍ وَزُرُوعٍ وَمَقَامٍ كَرِيمٍ وَنَعْمَةٍ كَانُوا فِيهَا فَاكِهِينَ كَذَلِكَ وَأَوْرَثْنَاهَا قَوْمًا آخَرِينَ فَمَا بَكَتْ عَلَيْهِمُ السَّمَاءُ وَالْأَرْضُ وَمَا كَانُوا مُنْذَرِينَ. He had palaces, he had rivers, but we made the generation, Allah Azza wa Jalla says, we made the generation later on, take that. And neither the sky nor the heavens nor the earth cried for him when he died. So we shall thank Allah for our blessings that we are here. And this is another important point, afiyah. One is ibtila, one is afiyah. That we are all being preserved and preservation. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his du'as, he made du'a to Allah. Allahumma inna as'aluka al-afiyah. Allahumma inni as'aluka al-afwa wal-afiyata fi dunya wal-akhirah. That, oh Allah, give us afiyah in this world. It's such an important thing, brothers and sisters, to have this ni'mah of health and wealth. That is why one poet he says, مَا أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ عَبْدٍ بِنِعْمَةٍ أَوْفَى مِنَ الْعَافِيَةِ وَكُلُّ مَنْ عُوفِيَ فِي جَسَدِهِ فَهُوَ فِي عِيشَةٍ رَاضِيَةٍ وَالْمَالُ حُلْوٌ حَسَنٌ جَيِّدٌ عَلَى الْفَتَى لَكِنَّهُ عَارِيَةٌ مَا أَحْسَنَ الدُّنْيَا لَكِنَّهَا مَعَ حُسْنِيَا غَدَّارَةٌ ثَانِيَةٌ. He says that Allah has not conferred a better blessing upon humanity than that of good health. ما أنعم الله على عبد بنعمة أوفى من العافية وكل من عوفي في جسده فهو في عيشة راضية. And indeed that person who enjoys good health and a good life, he enjoys a blissful and a happy life. والمال حلو حسن جيد على الفتاة لكنه عارية. And that person with a good life and wealth and health, that is indeed temporary. ما أحسن الدنيا, how beautiful is this world, لكنها مع حسنها غدارة ثانية. But with its beauty, it's deceptive. With its beauty, it's deceptive. So we should always thank Allah for our blessings and make dua and look into the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, the du'as he made for afiyah and the du'as he made where he used to thank Allah Azza wa Jal for giving us all the bounties and blessings that he has given us. The next thing for taqwa, Umar bin Abdul Aziz, he has one quotation of taqwa as well. He says, لَيْسَ تَقْوَى اللَّهِ بِسِيَامِ النَّهَارِ وَلَا بِقِيَامِ اللَّيْلِ وَلَكِنْ تَقْوَى اللَّهِ تَرْكُ مَا حَرَّمَ اللَّهِ وَعَدَاءُ مَا افْتَرَضَ اللَّهِ فَمَنْ رُزِقَ بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ خَيْرٌ فَهُوَ خَيْرٌ إِلَى خَيْرٍ. Taqwa is not fasting during the day or standing for prayer during the night. That is not taqwa. But taqwa in essence is when you comply to the orders of Allah and you stay away and abstain from that which Allah Azza wa Jal has told you to stay away from. This is taqwa. And we go back. وَتَلَالِ أَحْكَامِ الْقُرْآنِ. Anas radiallahu anhu, he says, taqwa is وَتَلَالِ أَحْكَامِ الْقُرْآنِ. A very important point, and it's unfortunate we find ourselves living in that period of time, which was prophesied by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that we find ourselves, the ahkam of the Qur'an have been trampled upon and treaded upon by us. They are not manifesting our actions, and this is a shame. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam prophesied this in a hadith. He says, "Yushiku an yati 'ala an-nas zamanun la yabqa min al-islam illa ismuhu wa la yabqa min al-quran illa rasmuhu. Masajiduhu 'amiratun wa hiya kharabun min al-huda. 'Ulama'uhum sharru man tahta 'adim as-sama'." That you will find yourself living in a time when nothing will remain of Islam except its name, Islam. Nothing will remain of the Qur'an except his letters. We find ourselves in this time now. The mosques are going to be full, but they are empty from guidance. There is no guidance in the mosques. The ulama are there, but the Prophet ﷺ is saying they are the most evil people on this earth. The most evil people under the sky. That is what the hadith says. We find ourselves living in this time, and it's a shame. We should try to revive the Qur'an and the and follow the ahkam of the Qur'an. This is something important. This is an integral part of our iman. فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ. The Qur'an says in Surah Nisa, فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ. And the ulama have said this is significant because Allah is taking an oath by himself here. فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ حَتَّى يُحَكِّمُوكَ فِي مَا شَجَرَ بَيْنَهُمْ ثُمَّ لَا يَجِدُوا فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَرَجًا مِّمَّا قَضَيْتَ وَيُسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. But know by your Lord that they can have no belief until they make you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a judge in all their matters, and find in themselves no resistance against your decision, and accept it with full submission. This is the Qur'an is saying this. You have no iman until you accept the ahkam of the Qur'an, and the judgment that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has given. And it's like Sayyidina Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, he says, مَعْرُوفُ زَمَانِنَا مُنْكَرُ زَمَانٍ قَدْ مَضَى وَمُنْكَرُهُ مَعْرُوفُ زَمَانٍ لَمْ يَأْتِي. The good of our time, it was considered evil by the people before us. And what we consider evil today, surely in the years to come, it will be considered good. This is a very thought-provoking statement. The times are getting worse, and it's being prophesied as well. So we ask Allah Azza wa Jal for afiyah, and we ask Allah Azza wa Jal for taqwa, and give us the real taqwa. And make us act according to the injunctions and the ahkam of the Qur'an, and understand the hadith and the Qur'an, and give us the ability to practice it in our life and become an embodiment of the sharia and the Qur'an and the sunnah. Barakallahu li wa lakum fil Qur'an al-azim wa nafa'ni wa iyyakum bil ayati wa dhikri al-hakim. Alhamdulillahi wahda wa salatu wa salamu ala man la nabiya ba'da amma ba'd. Just one final piece of advice, and that is what Umar ibn Abdul Aziz rahimahullah wrote to one of his governors. He was writing to one of his governors. He says, "Usika bi taqwa Allah, allati la yuqbal ghayruha wa la yuthibu illa 'alayha. فإن الواعظين بها كثير والعاملين بها قليل. I advise you to inculcate and have and possess the taqwa of Allah. 4. No action is accepted. No action will be accepted if it is not done with the taqwa of Allah. This Umar bin Abdul Aziz is saying this. No action will be accepted if it is not done with the taqwa of Allah. And let me tell you, فَإِنَّ الْوَعِذِينَ بِهَا كَثِيرٌ وَالْعَامِلِينَ بِهَا قَلِيلٌ. There are many who can advocate it, but there are few who possess this action. There are many who can talk about it. It's very beautiful talking about it and mentioning the quotations and learning and reading the tafsirs and everything. But to act according to it, now that is another reality. That is why, you know, there is one very frightening hadith in the narration of Ibn Hibban and Imam Bayhaqi, where the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was taken to Isra, when he was taken to Miraj, and he saw some people, and their lips were being cut off with pliers of fire. He mentions this. It's a sound hadith. Their lips were being cut off with pliers of fire. And he asked Jibreel alayhi salam, Ya Jibreel, man ha'ulai? Who are these people? قال, he says, خطباء من أمتك الذين يقولون ولا يفعلون ويقرؤون كتاب الله ولا يعلمون. They are those people from your ummah, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who, what do they do? They can talk. خطباء من أمتك الذين يقولون ولا يفعلون, but they cannot do any action. ويقرؤون كتاب الله, they can recite the book of Allah, ولا يعملون, but they cannot act according to it. This is very frightening for us, and we ask Allah Azza wa Jal at this point to give us the real taqwa and act according to the commands of the Quran and really become embodiment. And you know, when Aisha radiallahu anha was asked about the character of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, she said, كان خلق القرآن. His character was the Quran. And this is how we should try to attempt to become. Read the Quran, embrace it, and take it as our guidance through our lifetime. And we ask Allah to forgive our sins and grant us the taqwa and give us afiyah. Allahumma hadina fi man hadayt wa afina fi man afayt wa tawallana fi man tawallayt wa barik lana fi ma atayt wa qina sharra ma qadayt fa innaka taqdi wa la yuqda alayk innahu la yadhillu man walayt wa la ya'izzu man adayt tabarakta rabbana wa ta'alayt nastaghfiruka Allahumma wa natubu ilayk. Allahumma ighfir lil mu'minina wal mu'minat wal muslimina wal muslimat al ahya'i minhum wal amwat. اللهم إنك عفو تحب العفو فاعف عنا. ربنا اغفر لنا ولإخواننا الذين سبقونا بالإيمان ولا تجعل في قلوبنا غلا للذين آمنوا ربنا إنك رؤوف رحيم. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. وأقيموا الصلاة.
الله أكبر الله أكبر.